Hello everyone, welcome to Matrix Moments. I'm Rajat Agarwal, Director at Matrix. I lead our financial services and education investments. In today's podcast, we will discuss the trend of new banks and new cards that has taken the fintech world by storm. This space has seen over $5 billion of venture capital investment, perhaps one of the hottest spaces in fintech these days, with 50 plus startups that have been funded globally. And we are seeing several unicorns already emerge in this space with Revolut, Nubank, Chime in most parts of the world doing this well. In India too, we are beginning to see several interesting companies emerge. And today, as guests, we have two stellar founders who are attempting to script the Indian story in this super interesting space, as well as Vikram, MD at Matrix. So let me introduce our guests on the podcast. First up is Jiten, founder of a yet-to-launch neobank called Jupiter. This is his second podcast with us, and for those of you who don't know him, Jiten is a serial entrepreneur, an ex-banker who then founded CitrusPay, exited to PayU, one of the best exits that a fintech has delivered in India. Then at PayU, he built LazyPay, their buy now, pay later and consumer lending proposition, and has recently moved out to build Jupiter. The second guest on the show is Anurag. Anurag Sinha, he is the founder of a new card startup called OneCard. Anurag too is an ex-banker turned serial entrepreneur. He spent about a decade at 13 odd years at ICICI, where he ran pretty much most of their cards and payments related business over the years. Post which he joined Walnut, which is a personal finance management startup, as a co-founder, helped build their lending business, and has recently started the One Card business. Last is Vikram. He's the MD at Matrix India and on the board of most of our financial services investments. Over the last year or so, Matrix India has led investments in five different companies in the neobank and neoguards, including both Jupiter and OneCard. And perhaps we've done more than any other VC in India so far.
Yeah. Hearing that introduction, I was just seeing these two elder statesmen of the industry who are my gurus in fintech, and super excited about partnering with both of you guys. Thank you for doing this. And
thank you,
really excited that you've taken the plunge and stopped giving only gyan and now really starting to do. Actually, both of you have also invested in a lot of early startups. So would love to hear a candid conversation. And Rajat, over to you.
Yeah. So to kick things off, question to each of you, and perhaps we can start with Jiten. Neobanks and neocards is perhaps the most abused term these days in the industry, right? Every other company that we are meeting wants to be the new bank of X, or you know, replicate the success of some of the global peers. So, how do you think about this space, and what are some of the underlying factors that, in your mind, make India new bank ready? And perhaps you can also then talk about what you're trying to build.
Sure. Thanks, Rajat and Vikram. I think let's sort of understand that what is this neobank, why every fintech is thinking of neobank as a next business model. I think the funding in the sector is the obvious one, which is sort of luring all the entrepreneurs to think that this is the next big thing, and maybe all the VCs are now swayed by this term rather than the lending, which is now no more the hot term. That being said, I think if you look at it, what's happening is, if you look at the fintech landscape, today the fintech landscape where the consumers are having a very transactional relationship with the companies operating in the fintech space. And fintechs are increasingly realizing that to make money over long run and to sort of reduce their CAC and then monetize their CAC into LTV and recover it sooner rather than 3-year, 5-year horizon, they need to build a trust relationship with the consumer. And the trust relationship today, in today's era, is where a consumer having the most amount of trust in a bank. And this is where a consumer keeps his money. And I think this is where fintechs are realizing that by sort of remaining monoline and having a transactional relationship is no more the future. And it makes complete sense to move to multi-line products and build a trust relationship with the consumer. And I think that's the reason why fintechs are moving towards neobank. Coming specifically to me, I think the reason I sort of gravitated towards this business model is I had the same realization that after doing these two stints with Citrus and LazyPay, that I think if you sort of provide a full stack solution to consumer in financial services space, there is a large amount of value creation which you can do. Today, if you look at it, be it payments or lending, which I have been involved in my last two stints, I think there is still some amount of CAC versus LTV issue. There is payments sort of nowadays become more of an entry point. Lending is going through its own set of challenges. And as far as consumer is concerned, consumer is confused that, oh, which entity is the best for me for which kind of product. So while they expect their bank to be the best among all for all their financial services requirement. And I think I feel that this business is a business which can sort of survive for next 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. And this is not a 5-year gig or a 7-year gig. So from that perspective, when I was thinking that what will make a business sustainable on its own without depending on the funding requirement forever, I felt that a low-cost deposit access with the ability to build a relationship with the consumer is going to be key. And that's where I gravitated toward this space.
Got it. Thank you, Jiten. Anurag, over to you. What's your view on this? And given that you've taken a more credit-first approach to building this out, would love to get your thoughts.
Agreeing to a few points which Jiten said, that I think all of us, apart from the things Jiten spoke, very large untapped opportunity is also another point that, the current providers, be it banking, savings, credit cards, loans, the under-penetration across every category is very large. And I think the way our economy is moving and, young Indians are joining the workforce, and, and they want simpler product, much more digital-oriented product. So we see this. So from a bank to new bank theory, I think gets much more fructified when we, match these two, trends together. Coming back to our approach, I agree that this is a trust business. Of course, product differentiation, consumer experience, risk management. You got to build those IPs if you want to build a long-term company here. However, trust is extremely important. And what we saw that, given that there's a large untapped opportunity in credit, probably it was easier for us to build a trust with the user when we are giving out money rather than taking their money. Eventually, all these models have to converge where we are holding, a large product penetration of the same customer so that we can capture, not only the trust and the attention of the user, of course, make multiple revenue lines for us. As a company, we are targeted to build a new card, which is essentially building, building a new age credit card experience for young Indians, where they can manage the entire experience of credit card through mobile in a smart way. And also help them not only manage this card, but the overall credit experience for them. Make sure that they stay on course as they build the credit history for their life. So that's what we are going after.
So I can add a little bit of sort of our thesis and why we've been bullish about this space. I think the difference with India versus other markets is banks are pretty good in India. They're actually more tech first than most of the banks. Both of you guys build tech for the banks. So banks are pretty good. Their NPS is actually much better than European or UK counterparts. So what's the real opportunity then? I think the opportunity for me is sort of three structural factors. So the first is that suddenly over the last 3-4 years, there's an explosion of bank accounts. And so the infrastructure and the bank brands are not able to keep up with that explosion and able to serve them well. So one is that suddenly, like Anurag said, there's this huge opportunity where there are all these bank accounts and they're either underserved or, their relationships are not okay or the trust hasn't been established. So there's that opportunity. The second is India stack plus demon plus explosion of payments. Suddenly digital banking is a pull product and not as much a push product. So CAC has suddenly gone down for some of this stuff. I think the third is for all these consumers, both savings behavior as well as spend behavior is just not formed. And I think the opportunity for all of us is to actually nudge them towards the right savings and spend behavior. and truly the right behavior for the consumer, not just for the company. And I think that's the role that neobanks can really really play. And I do think that they will coexist along with the banks. I think the Indian banking system is pretty good and it'll coexist. And I know both of you guys are partnering deeply with some of the established banks.
I think completely. In fact, right now, if you see, you know, we always keep answering this question, why now? You know, and I think while I agree with whatever Vikram said, I think there is also a big realization amongst bankers that, okay, they would love to partner with, you know, platforms, products to, you know, reduce the time to market and also learn fast. I'm like, you know, one other thing we bring to the table, as you rightly said, most of the Indian banks, the technology is hardly 10, 15 year old. So they all started with core banking. They have, you know, internet banking, mobile banking. Transactions are moving from branches to digital platforms. It's all there. But I think, you know, Indian consumers are still looking for much more deeper, simpler experience. That's where the iterative process of a startup ecosystem or a setup is much better suited to, you know, get to the right product or the right, you know, faster. And that's where we see that, you know, the partnerships discussion which we have with bankers now, including regulators, is much more forthcoming than probably 3-4 years back. Yes. Jiten can add to it.
Just double click on that also while you answer this, Jiten, which is what, you know, everybody asks me, what is new about it? Isme naya kya hai? And this happens from the bank. So how do you define neobank?
I think it's an interesting question what you're asking, because I think if you look at the consumer behavior today, which is primarily emanating from their mobile phones, on the one side, the consumer used to Flipkart, Swiggy, Amazon, Zomato kind of experience. And on the other side, there are these banking apps which has been there on their phone since 2008 or 2009. And I would say it's an expectation which has changed from a consumer side. And rather than I would say that banks are doing bad job, it's just that the consumers have fast forward in their expectation. And they're expecting a similar experience, similar service, similar kind of consumer-first approach when they deal with their bank. And I think this is the neo thing, if you ask me, as compared to what banks are not doing right.
Yeah, I guess, I think, just to add to the app thing, is that typically banking apps, you know, the thinking is like a super app. A typical bank app will have some 150, 170 services to offer. And it's like really complicated for people to understand. So, you know, what I think all of us are trying to do, okay, probably make it whatever the user need right now. And, you know, user is happy to, I mean, the Indian users, what we have learned is quite discerning. I'm like, even for e-commerce, he needs 3 e-commerce app. Even for food delivery, they need 3 food delivery, which is very different in lots of other developed markets where you see a single brand owning this. I think opportunity for us is to, you know, they won't say that, let the complexity be under the hood. You offer me the kick-ass user experience.
I will sort of extend the argument saying that. So you know, and I keep using this example very often. So in 2008, we had this Nokia phone. And if anybody asked you that, are you happy with your phone? You would say that, yeah, it works. I'm able to make and receive calls. There was no issue. But at the same time, everybody moved to smartphone later because they found it there's somewhat better experience other than making and receiving calls. They could do multi more things. I think today, if you look at the apps in the financial services space, and I would not call just banking, I think there are menu apps. There are apps where everything is available for sure. But what is not there is what consumer sort of how consumer would like to consume. So if you look at, let's say, Amazon, like Amazon gives you that, oh, you bought this. People in your segment have also bought this. People in your segment gave reviews like this. So, you know, that experience is what consumers are used to now. Vis-a-vis, okay, this is a menu. Banks or financial services institutions expect that consumer is supposed to know what he wants to buy, which is not the case. Consumer wants to discover what he wants to buy, rather, or he wants to learn in terms of financial literacy. And I think that's the big gap which could be sort of bridged by introducing these new things.
Just to add, we'll give you one design tip. Why the menus exist? Because most of these apps are built to migrate customers for branches. And if you go to branches, we have counters. That's why we have menus. So you go to a branch loan counter, you go to a cards counter, you go to a bank counter. That's how the apps or other internet bank interface have been built to help people migrate. So they don't see much change from what they have been used to. That used to be one of the big design principles in all the banks, by the way.
It's very interesting. But... you know, though what you guys have just said is more on the front end and user experience side. What's happening at the back end? Because I know both of you are actually thinking of choices on thin stack versus full stack on the back end tech as well.
And I will just add to that question. If you look at sort of the neobank, there is the front end, which is relationship management, new products, which innovation, as well as sort of user experience, which you can change into a new. But then there is the risk management. There is the core banking system, the interaction with CASA. How does all of this sort of come together?
Yeah, so I guess I think that's probably one of the biggest differentiation of the current crop of neo cards and neo banks as we're talking about, because we are going beyond just the user experience and we are actually integrating with much deeper stacks or building our own stacks, you know, so to say, depending on the situation. Now, this is where, you know, in fact, you know, a pure play e-commerce player versus fintech player. So the bank's expectation is that if you are asking for such a large partnership, then, you know, what are you investing in this in terms of risk management? So, for example, compliance, KYC, security. Security is extremely important because you are performing a lot of function on behalf of bank and you are the, you know, interface for the choice. And hence you, so I think, you know, we are investing heavily into that. Our stack is compliant on day zero. It goes through certifications. It goes through different audits of departments of the bank. Either other parties, regulatory bodies, they do certifications. So I think we are moving towards that. Good news is there is also overarching changes happening in the ecosystem. Like, for example, while still full clarity is not there for KYC using Aadhaar, but the account aggregators are coming in a big way to drive open banking. Hopefully in the next 3 to 6 months, this will improve UX for the entire industry, not only for us, but of course, we would be the first one to capture the value through that because we can ride on that.
Yeah, so, you know, as you rightly said that the technology is one of the important differentiating factor other than the front-end user experience. I think the why it is so, because if you look at it, now the technology is not changing in decades. Technology is changing every 2 or 3 years. So fortunately, when you're sort of building technology, you have the ability and flexibility to think that what makes sense to build a mobile first technology, what is the backend behind it, what are the systems you need to build so that you can manage risk in more intuitive way rather than saying that, okay, give me this paper, let me see this transaction manually and all of that. So I think that is the beauty of building a bank in 2020, I would say. And I think that's the thing which is the biggest differentiator, I would say. And that naturally gives the advantage in the front-end side. Because today, if you look at it, and I keep talking to banks, for them to make any change, it takes them like 3 to 6 months because they're saying our back-end, we need to speak to the vendor, we need to sort of get them a request change, and then the new feature can be launched only after 6 months. So I think that is the backlog plus the weakness which the existing technologies have. And when you build new, you can sort of factor in based on the issues which you've seen in last 5 years, I would say. And that gives a natural advantage in terms of what new experience you can deliver to the consumer.
Yeah, I just want to, in fact, you mentioned that, you know, a lot of Indian banks have good tech, you know, because they've been built in recent past. I think two important trends which are happening right now, which is affecting this cycle, what Jitin spoke about, really important. One is, I think, the need of personalization. The Indian consumer is right now used to personalization across every platform. And the way most of the banking systems have been built is like a very, you know, they want to make sure that everybody sees the same. There have been attempts made, like for wealth management, should have a black color for privileged banking, but people are going beyond that. I want my card, my offers, my lines, my rate, my rewards. It's like, you know, want to do that if I've done this, you should be able to guess my next transaction and do min. And that's the level of customization difficult to do in the current tech structure. Second thing is, I think, iteration, you know, as you said, from the time a customer complains, then go to product manager, then go to tech desk, then go to implementation, it's 6 to 9 month cycle. By the time the user changes. So I think those are the things where, you know, our kind of approach can do better. In fact, I am now seeing most of the interaction, people are not using, most of these bankers are not looking at us to reduce cost. We will reduce cost anyway, but they're looking at, we can actually manage risk better. it's the next, I mean, we can probably drive more adoption, more engagement, in a way, more revenues. And that's the shift which has happened from a tech vendor to reduce costs to basically drive proposition. I think that's the biggest change we have seen in the way we interact with bankers now. We have been on the other side, so, you know, we understand the difference, change of mindset which bankers are going through themselves.
Actually, both regulations and, you know, the bank partnerships, given that both of you have taken the bank deep partnership approach, how does, you know, this whole cooperation slash competition scenario play out in your minds? And what are banks saying? And what are regulators saying? Are you guys thinking about licenses? Is that going to happen in India?
I think if you look at it globally, the trend, the regulators globally are realizing that today's consumer has different needs and different way of consuming services over mobile. So in UK or in Hong Kong or Taiwan and Korea, people have, the regulators have come out with the virtual banking licenses. In India, if you look at it, the regulator has been quite progressive that way. They have come out with the category of licenses like payments bank or small finance banks and all of that. I think when it comes to moving to the internet only banks or the virtual banking licenses for that matter, I feel we are not far away. I feel we are like 3 to 4 years away. And I think that would be definitely be a boon for all the tech entrepreneurs who have aspiration to create a bank. From a today's scenario, the partnership perspective, I think banks have matured. Banks are like no more feeling insecure that, if I partner with this guy is going to take my revenue share or this guy is going to take my customer away. Rather, they feel that, let me learn. Let me sort of see that how things can be done differently. And fintech entrepreneurs like, there is a guy who's expert, who's doing very good job at managing regulatory risk, compliances, KYCs and all of that. And let me leverage that. So I think it's a beautiful relationship between a company like us as well as a bank, where both the guys gain from each other and each other's experiences and then create a long-term franchise for consumers.
Yeah, and it seems like the top banks in the country are doing this.
That's
clearly
right.
Something has changed.
Yeah, I guess, I think one thing for sure, you know, if you're building a serious play like this in fintech, regulations have, you know, they're there and you got to work with them. So that is one. And second thing, I just agree to what Jiten said, the banks are realizing that they are seeing this as a learning opportunities to, you know, learn and, you know, reorient their own business models. They are, of course, progressing on their own strategies as well, but this is an additional input to them. Secondly, I think we all have to remember one thing that I spoke about, that there is a large underpenetration. Even the largest banks, leave aside the SBI, the market share less than 10%. You know, there are banks which are valued very high, having 3 to 4% market shares. You know, very large lending companies operating at 2%, 3% market share. So it's a very large opportunity. And that is what actually makes exciting for all of us. So banks are saying we're going to learn and we're going to reorient our own model. And we are looking at, okay, we're going to work with them, learn, and then build our own model. So I think that's where we stand.
So I would add and agree with Jiten that the regulator is actually very progressive. And if you look at how fast both the regulator, different entities have adopted things like whether it's UPI, whether it is the way data is getting used through the India stack, actually it's very progressive. And, you know, if they make mistakes, they correct them very quickly. I think the most important thing that the overall banking system and regulator wants is that A, access, and all companies are providing more and more access to financial services for a large set of consumers. And the second is that they are a good, trusted custodian of money and they're able to protect consumer interest. To me, I don't know if it's 3-4 years and so on, but it is incumbent on all of us to say that we can do those two things well. And that's, I think, why we need to make sure that we all build these companies in a measured way. And if you build it in a measured way, I think the regulator will respond very fast.
So actually, Vikram, that is my biggest worry as well, if you ask me. So when Rajas started this podcast saying that today every company on the street wants to become a neobank, I think that's my worry. The worry is not about that there's increased competition. The worry is that the one guy acting bad or one guy making mistakes which sort of shakes consumers' trust is going to spoil the whole industry, spoil the whole ecosystem. And I think that's why I sort of, I'm like super paranoid, not just keeping our business model work. I'm also sort of meeting other entrepreneurs and saying what not to do and how to watch themselves so that the risk is not being created in the ecosystem.
Completely agree. Completely agree. I think that's the only thing be regulation, security, and also trust. Because in this area, once you break the trust, it's very difficult to gain back. Look at the, banks. We might argue that they don't have digital interfaces, but still they have customers because people still keep money with them. They still trust them. So trust is an extremely important factor in this industry across all products.
Moving on, how do these companies make money, right? Given what's happening with the whole MDR, UPI regime. If I look at global neobanks, a lot of their money comes from just debit card, MDR, right? So where does all this start?
After making all these investments, I also want to know.
I think it's a factor of trust again, I would say that. So, the investors need to keep trust in their portfolio companies. But at the same time, I think this model, by the way, I have to admit that this model is not easy. This model has a longer gestation period, has its own set of execution challenges. But that being said, I think if this model is sort of can be continued for next 10 years, it has a definite high rewards for investors as well as for consumers as well as for entrepreneurs. Because I think what you're doing is you're sort of creating a consumer franchise where consumers are trusting you to avail or provide them financial services, not just one monoline product, but across the financial services. And if you're able to do that, the whole issue around CAC to LTV, all of that go away. So definitely, patience is the key.
Yeah, I guess I just want to add that long-term vision is extremely important. There's no shortcut gains here because in long-term, you have multiple revenue lines. Interchange is one, MDR is one. But beyond that, you can build lots of engagement-oriented products, credit products, NIIs are there, other fees are there, services are there. And as long as you're keeping the relationship with you, you can cross-sell multiple products. So I think in long run, we're gonna, everything is fine. But we need to traverse the short run, make sure that we get to the right customer to choose us, stay with us. In my opinion, that's much more difficult problem to solve for us right now.
So I'll give you the investor perspective. The investor, from an investor's perspective, this business has a lot of moving parts. And so there's a balance sheet plus regulatory partnership, there is product innovation, and then there is business innovation, which is business model innovation rather. So for us, the only security is actually founding teams. And one of the reasons that we've backed very seasoned founding teams in this business who have done different parts of this at different points of time is actually that. And Jitin, I'm already sold. You already have my money. So, but I would say there is a trust that you can actually build these models if you are able to scale consumer trust.
And I think we will have our own models. If you look at the products in Europe, mostly they were built around cross-border remittances as the first product because that was a big problem to solve. If you look at products like in US, mostly they were credit focused because that was a big opportunity. You look at LATAM, they went full bank proposition. They do savings account, credit cards, loans, because they see that, okay, can we remodel the entire experience across all products? I think we will have something of our own, which we will get there.
That's right.
I still have very early days for us to make assumptions.
Great. Thank you, everyone. I think we can keep going on and on. It's a personal area of interest for all of us. And we're very excited about this space. We truly believe this can be game-changing for India FinTech. However, it's still early days. Several risks, some of which we've talked about today. There's consumer adoption risk, there's scaling risk, and so on. But I think the opportunity is exciting, and we are seeing great entrepreneurs come into the space, and the role of regulators and banks is also critical and important as we scale this up and for any of these companies to truly succeed. So I was hoping for the best, and thanks to Jiten, Anurag, Vikram and all our listeners for tuning in today. Okay, so before we wrap up, I wanted to get in a few rapid fire questions for all our guests today. So quick one or two line answers for each of this. If there's one thing that you really wish for that could help your business or you know, as a founder, what could that be? Jiten, Anurag, and even Vikram.
I would say actually regulatory-wise, the virtual banking licenses, if it comes, that would be a game changer.
I would agree with that. That kind of gives us a very long-term, it aligns with our long-term vision of building these businesses.
Yeah. We have a more near-term wish, which is a mass switch of high-quality talent from other areas to fintech and neobank startups.
Distribution versus product, which is more important?
Founders.
I would not say either or. I would say both. Both are super important.
I agree, but if I have to choose, I would choose product first.
One advice for fintech founders.
Stay put longer.
And, you know, figure out your differentiation, because, you know, there will be too much. I'm like, you know, you just cannot just build business just on payments, just on lending. It has to be slightly much more differentiated.
Vikram?
Product first is your strength, and risk can be a weakness.
One advice for VCs?
Long-term vision.
Yeah, patience. Patience is the key.
One advice for LPs.
I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to plead the fifth.
One book recommendation.
I'm actually reading right now The Good to Great. So I'm liking the book.
I like this book, this Irrational Rational, Dan Ariely. We know we're building a lot of things about changing consumer behavior. It has been the predominant one in India. So I love that. You know.
Vikram?
Trillion Dollar Coach. Just reading Bill Campbell's work.
Super. Thank you, everyone. This has been a fantastic podcast.
Thanks, Rajat. Thanks, Anurag.
Thanks, Rajat.
Thanks, guys, for doing this. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. And you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.